On the wave in the Atlantic floats the little duck. He reposes in the immediate as if it were infinity, which it is. That is religion, and the duck has it. Coming to communion, you come with a yearning, as the scripture says, to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Among the powers that drew us here to Boston was the chance to labor in the shadow of Howard Thurman and to preach from the pulpit he once filled. Thurman was the dean of Marsh Chapel from 1953 to 1965. This summer, read or reread his autobiography, With Head and Heart. In the work of grieving and departing from one setting, Rochester, and entering another, Boston, I was telephoned by a friend and parishioner. She wanted to set an appointment to talk before we left Rochester. A saintly woman of blessed memory, Donna Adcock, made an appointment, a good formal appointment, to see me. A chat after church won't do for this, she averred. That Wednesday, she brought in a poem which she had typed out from an original handscript. We heard a verse of it just a moment ago. Typing, by the way, is an ancient technology no longer in use, but some years ago, even still around. I do not linger to define keystroke, whiteout, ribbon, carbon paper, or Smith Corona. She continued. This poem, Howard Thurman, your predecessor at Marsh Chapel, recited in a sermon in Kansas City, my home, in 1950, she said. I was 20 years old or so, 56 years younger than I am today, when that sermon changed my life. And I spent the next 50 years in full-time Christian service through the YWCA. I heard something that summer day in Kansas City in 1950 that changed my life. I want you to have this poem. You do not need to live in New England to love it, but it does help. The fact that I heard it through Howard Thurman's beautiful voice adds so much to it for me. The Little Duck is a poem about the freedom of a duck floating on the waves, written in 1947 by Donald Babcock. Here are some verses from that poem. There is a big heaving in the Atlantic, and he is part of it. He can rest while the Atlantic heaves because he rests in the Atlantic. Probably he doesn't know how large the ocean is, and neither do you, but he realizes it. And what does he do, I ask you? He sits down in it. He reposes in the immediate as if it were infinity, which it is. That is religion, and the duck has it. He has made himself part of the boundless by easing himself into it just where it touches him. I like the little duck. He doesn't know much, but he has religion. You come to communion yearning to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Coming to communion, you come this morning with your lost loved ones in mind and heart. Pause and honor in memory of one such for a moment. This week, it came to mind again the day one winter long ago we bade farewell to a father-in-law, Charlie. When we receive the Lord's Supper, we do so with the communion of saints all around us, visible and invisible, like Charlie or like your beloved, whomever, this morning in memory. Coming to communion, you come with your lost loved ones in mind and heart. Charlie was a lover. He loved nature, garden, seed time, harvest, planting, weeding, watering, like the parables of Jesus. He had a green thumb. Most plants benefited by the touch of his hand. He loved work with his hands, carpentry. He had some good company in carpentry, if I remember the Bible that they had us read and memorize at church camp, a blessed profession. I think of him on summer days. A dozen features of our little cottage have known the touch of his kind hand. He loved the poor and the other. In his study group, in work with retired teachers, in days and months of work with Habitat for Humanity and various churches and causes, he loved others, and I mean others, of other religions, other places, other races, other backgrounds, other orientations. He loved others, and they felt the touch of his hand. He loved his country. He was not a member of any organized political party. His patriotism, his love of country was not only for liberty and justice, but for liberty and justice for all. And with his hands, he lived that. He loved his church, its committees, its pastors, its building needs, its study groups, its quirks, and its oddities. Especially, he loved the reading he did with others. He loved his family and expressed that love in rocking horses and tools given and evergreens planted and windows replaced and mostly sincere, repeated words of love. He touched us in the most touching of ways. He loved God by loving the things of God, the creation of God, the tasks of God, the people of God, the church of God. He was, in so many ways, another yet our dad in another form. Beloved, we all need models of spiritual, personal faith, people who can show us by example the dimensions of spirituality we so desire. We all need models of such faith, people who can show us by how they live the dimensions of spirituality that we so desire. And especially now, we are in a time when there seem to be so many things going wrong, off kilter, long lists of problems and very short ones of solutions. But those who came before us also had such times, maybe even worse ones, and they came through it all, and we shall too. At communion, in communion with them, with Charlie and the Charlies of your lives, somehow we gain some strength. You come to communion yearning to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And this is especially and keenly true this morning at Marsh Chapel. Here today in the observation of two sacraments, Eucharist during the service and baptism following. Here today in this particular baptism, such a beautiful child, part of the community, connected to this university and to the chapel and to its choir and to the life and leadership of the university and to the congregation of Marsh Chapel. In community, come Sunday, here, now, is where life engages life and heart engages heart. Where you can learn a name, where you can hear a voice, where you can make a friend, where you can share a need, where you can listen for a moment to another's heart, where you can know and be known from baptism through Eucharist all the way to that last getting up morning and unction and eternity. Where one receives the food that endures for eternal life, where one may offer another a path toward where both can find bread. And in lighthearted joy and a touch of humor, here voices touch home, like Dr. Amerson's humorous reference to his long ago parishioner who said to him after church, "You know, every sermon of yours is better than your next one." Well, you have to think about that. What she was trying to say is every sermon is better than your last one, but she said every one is better than your next one. She meant better than your last one. We will have to check with Dr. Freud about that Freudian slip. Things happen in church. Some of you were here Palm Sunday, and one of our now leaders at Emory with his wife, Jen Quigley, Soren Hessler, was here. And on the spur of the moment, after the service, as the service ended, I went down in the final hymn and asked Soren to come and give the benediction. He said, sure, I'll be glad to. He had done it many times. And up he came and gave a wonderful benediction. I had two people come out of worship later saying, I hope you're not going to do that to me because I'm not sure I can do that. This is a place for a moment of illumination Sunday by Sunday. That touch of humor is part of that and happens in living community. And also and especially here in the walk down the aisle, the walk up the sawdust trail, the walk of meaning and belonging and empowerment and the reception of the body and blood of Christ to nourish us for the next week, month, and year. 10 years ago in this nave, we hosted the memorial service for Dr. Ken Edelin, a medical doctor graduated from BU and one of the early pioneering physicians affirming women's rights, affirming women's rights to reproductive health care, affirming women's rights when needed to surgical abortion. And here in the chancel were Cecile Richards and Jay Johnson and others who spoke in eulogy. Marsh Chapel was full. At one point, we asked the congregation to recite together the 23rd Psalm. Family and friends in the first pew did so. Colleagues and physicians across the nave did so. Leaders of national organizations near and far did so. In the balcony, 20 white-coated medical students together did so. Either at that point or another in the service, they stood silently together to honor the life and faith of the deceased. That day I met a man, a friend, and a personal physician of Arthur Ashe, whose life, prowess, faithfulness, and service have always so inspired me. Read again this summer his autobiography, Days of Grace. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In the collation following the service, Charlene Hunter Gault introduced herself. Collation is a word my mother used to describe the meal that follows the funeral, the meal that follows the memorial, the meal that follows the service. Some will remember her, Charlene Hunter Gault, as we did from many and fine contributions to the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer. After service, she said, I need to talk to you later about the 23rd Psalm. I was so pleased to meet her and then so worried that I'd somehow offended her that the collation time passed anxiously. It needn't have done. She wanted to recall a memory of her younger self at 18, one of two African Americans first to integrate the University of Georgia, the daughter of a minister, alone in a big place, a strange place, a new place. And walking home the third night, there were taunts and there were threats. The university that day had even suggested she might want to go home, at least for a while. And she went to her room, she closed the door, she turned out the lights, and she waited until quiet came. And then it was the only thing that came to her mind. Prayer of David in Psalm 23 came to her. And she spoke the psalm alone repeatedly until she fell asleep, uncertain at night. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, like that little duck bouncing along on the waves of the Atlantic, he reposes in the immediate as if it were infinity, which it is. And that is religion, and the duck has it. And we share it with one another in Eucharist today, remembering, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.